take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Still to come on the program, Scott Butcher, my friend, the publisher and editor of the Trustwell Tribune, regular on this program, and also John Wald from the Alabama Republican Party, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. We didn't get to have him on last week. We were celebrating Fat Tuesday somewhere at a parade downtown Mobile, but we'll make it up today. But joining us now on the line, we talked to him. We get both of these guys, Carson Ricardo, Carson Moore, on every week heading into March 5th, and we're getting close. But Barry Moore joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. We are doing good, man. Doing well. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. Well, before we get to your announcement here, just give us kind of a rundown how the campaign's going.
Well, it's going well. We're hearing great things. People are rallying to us. And I think, you know, our plan the whole time, Jeff, is just to run on a record. We've always said we've got a great record as a conservative fighter. We've done what we told people we'd do. This district moved from the 75th most conservative to the 6th most conservative. And 7 of the 9 counties of people already know us. So we've been working really hard and balling in Mobile to establish who we are, let people know who we are. We're getting favorable results and excited to see the support we're getting.
Well, you picked up a big endorsement, rolling it out here on this program. Tell us a little bit about it.
So is that the one that is coming out later today?
A prominent U.S. senator from
Very good. Well, you know, we had the 4 House Freedom Caucus endorsements come out. Well, my friends in House Freedom Caucus are with me, but we'd rolled out 4 yesterday, and we've got a line of great endorsements coming. And, yeah, so our good friend Senator Ted Cruz is rolling out his endorsement today, and we're excited to have Ted. He said he was honored to stand with me. He knows I'm a conservative fighter. He's seen my record. We've been in a number of meetings together over the years at House Freedom Caucus where we would work with conservative senators to try to help position policy going against Schumer as it left the House. And so I was so honored to get his endorsement. And he's a good fighter, a good friend, and he understands the conservative movement as well as anybody in the country.
Well, you're really getting it's fascinating to watch how these Freedom Caucus guys and these guys we used to associate what we call the Tea Party are really rallying to your cause, because this is like big picture, right, Congressman? This is what you guys need to kind of grow your ranks, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and you have a lot of people in this country, the candidates that will run and say, hey, I'm going to join the House Freedom Caucus. And often the House Freedom Caucus guys will get with them and try to help them. And then when they get there, they realize, oh, they can't move up through leadership in the system. They can't be on the committee that they choose to be on if they're in fact a conservative fighter, because the system itself is kind of it works against you. But as our ranks grow, and those guys saw, I told them in 2020, the only way I'd want to go to D.C. is to have them in a room with me in the fight. And so they've seen me stand with them. I've become a member of the House Freedom Caucus. And, of course, Jim Jordan was down a few weeks ago, did a rally for me. We went to Dothan over to Robertsdale and just had a great day. And so those are the people I think America sees as the, if this nation is in fact saved, it'll be those people that do it, the House Freedom Caucus people who say no to the swamp, no to the establishment. We were sent here by the American people, and you do not own us. And so I am honored to have them coming on board, and we continue to have more and more endorsements coming from conservatives across the country.
I mean, it's the way that town works, and, you know, I don't think I'm giving away any trade secrets, but you fundraise and you campaign for and you create almost like your own political infrastructure. It's not necessarily beholden to whoever the big, you know, the K Street types or whatever that have traditionally played a big role in congressional politics. But at some point, 10, 15 years ago, they said, well, we need to figure this game out and play it on our own terms.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the only way conservative really Americans have a say in the process, because we all see the swamp as what it is. And it is, it's developed a life of its own. And the K Street money flows into these appropriators and these ways and means guys and these different individuals on these committees who spend the money. And so then the money pours in their campaign, they get reelected, they continue to spend the money, and that's why they've stolen 30% of your money and got you $34 trillion in debt, because they're not doing what's best for the American people. They're doing what's best for the system in D.C., and it's just, we had to figure out a way to fight back. So the House Freedom Fund, House Freedom Caucus, was started years ago by Jim Jordan and some of the guys, and we've nearly doubled in ranks. And you got Conservative Policy Institute, which are conservative fighters as well. So there's a couple of organizations that realize you have to understand how to raise money from conservatives around the country in order to engage the money in D.C. and the K Street money, the special interest money that has been running this country off a cliff for some time now.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore. He's running for the Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District. We will have Congressman Carl on tomorrow on the program while we're in Montgomery. But, Congressman, let's move on to what's going on in the world here. Well, first off, before we go make that leap, presidential politics, Donald Trump, tell me this. I assume you want this to wrap up sooner rather than later, but what difference do you think it would make having the presidential contest still going on with you on the ballot on March 5th on Super Tuesday?
Well, I think it helps me. I mean, everybody who's known about the Moore family and our support of Trump from way back. I mean, listen, I was first endorsing. We've talked about that on the show. You were there when you were with Breitbart at the time, I think, Jeff. And that was August 21st, 2015. And, of course, I was a Trump delegate in 2016. And, of course, when he was arrested in New York, they had us come down to Mar-a-Lago that night when Alvin Bragg went after him the first time to just spend some time with him and encourage him. We've been in this fight for him for some time. And so people recognize that I'm an ally and a friend of his and one of his first and strongest supporters. And so him being on the ballot, if they go to vote for him, hopefully that helps people go, oh, yeah, Barry's been with him since day one. And their allies, they're fighting for the same thing to take to literally drain the swamp. And so, you know, I think it's good in that respect for some of us who are down the ballot to have to people to show up to support President Trump, that many of us enjoy that coattail experience often.
Yeah, and you mentioned that. I remember, for those who are listening, it was 2015, and my wife and I were both working at Breitbart at the time. I still work at Breitbart, but we came down to cover that event, and it was like right before Trump had just gotten off the ground his presidential campaign, and I remember it kind of shocked me to hear you endorse. And then I remember like going through the crowd, trying to find you to talk to you on the record. And you could go like find the story where I interviewed you right after it happened on Breitbart. But you tell the story how it just kind of happened so spontaneously.
Yeah, Jeff, we were in Ladd People Stadium. It was August 21st, 2015. And Heather and I were in the south end of the stadium in an RV. And, you know, there was Marco Rubio was coming to Alabama the next couple of days. At the time I was in the state legislature, it was in my second term. And we had Walker, Governor Walker, they were wanting our endorsements. And Heather and I in this little RV on the south end of the stadium. And a fellow, Joe Freeman, Trump, Alabama, cracks the door and said, would any of you guys be willing to endorse? And Heather and I, we really didn't know what to do. So we just went down the hall of that RV and said a quick prayer. And we got a piece about endorsing a guy who had no chance of getting the nomination. He was one of 17 candidates, less than a 1% chance of getting the Republican nomination. And everybody said he would not be Hillary Clinton. But Heather and I felt compelled to endorse him that day. And as we were going through the tunnel towards the stage, our friend said, do you want to go first? Do you want to go last? There were only four of us that day were willing to step out. And man, when I endorsed him, I thought, well, I'm the first guy in the nation to endorse a guy that has no chance of winning. But it was a different plan. And he rose and he won. And I was a delegate. My daughter, Kathleen, was the youngest voting Trump delegate in the nation in 2016 for him. And so we've been on that train long before it left the station. And y'all, I think as a nation, we better keep him in our prayers. You're talking about, you know, he spent $76 million on legal fees in the last 2 years. They hit him with an $80 million verdict on some sexual harassment thing 2 weeks ago, then $360 million verdict. He is the only person right now in this nation that could probably stand up under the pressure and fund his own defense. Everybody else, the system would destroy. We must stand with him now because he is in it for the right reasons. He loves his country.
Congressman, on the other side of the ticket there in November, Joe Biden, and, you know, there's, it looks like the plan, and tell me what you think of this, because all those Republicans who ran in 2022 ran, a lot of them ran on really getting control of Congress and, you know, holding the Biden administration accountable. And it really had a lot of steam going all the way through that first part of this Congress, and then you hit the bump in the road with the McCarthy saga. And I don't know. I know we got an impeachment on Mayorkas. Is it living up to what your expectations, what you thought Republicans were capable of doing coming out of that 22 cycle, holding the Biden administration accountable?
Well, you know, I think for us, and you know, it's a little different. We don't just weaponize against our political opponents. So even now, I think we should have impeached Mayorkas much faster than we have, Jeff. But, you know, it's tough because there's a uniparty in Washington, D.C. Somebody may identify as a Republican and somebody may identify as a Democrat, but the spending still continues, even when we have the majority. It's like these continuing resolutions that they vote for. It's just continuing the spending that Pelosi and Schumer had in place. Now, I haven't voted ever in my life for a CR, don't ever intend to, because we have appropriations process. And to our credit, we passed 7 bills out of appropriations that are now in the Senate, some with some amendments. And so we're pushing to make sure that Mike Johnson, the new speaker, holds the line. But, you know, there is that uniparty system and there's a lot of pressure. And that's why we always have this last minute, oh, we're going to shut the government down, these CRs, and then these, you know, these crazy bills that if we would just be willing to shut the government down and tell them we'll shut it down if you don't fix the process and do 12 appropriations bills like we're supposed to, then I think that we could turn the thing. But right now, until Republicans show courage enough to say we're willing to shut it down briefly to fix it, I don't see much change coming. And so I have been disappointed in some ways the lack of courage within our own party because, you know, everybody's worried about getting blamed. Man, listen, this country's in trouble. You can't just be worried about blame. You better step up, show you got a backbone, and hold the line and say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes now to save this nation down the road. And we just don't have people in Congress with courage. Now, us House Freedom Caucus guys, we don't vote for the CRs. We don't vote for random funding to foreign countries like these supplementals to Ukraine because we realize that America itself is sick. We got a wide open border here. We got $34 trillion in debt, and it's $83,000 a second in interest on the national debt. And we're sending money to foreign countries and borrowing it from other people. It just makes no sense. But you got to have people with courage. I'm encouraged that we've got 40 House Freedom Caucus guys. We need a few more of us. We are working to do what we can, but we need a little help in D.C. We can't keep sending back these creatures that just go along to get along.
Do you find that to be the problem, though? It could go, you know, we will get these spending bills done, and the whole idea, because I think people voted Republicans, even though it was a very, very thin margin, but a lot of people went out and gave the Republicans control of the House of Representatives as kind of a protest or a pushback against the Biden administration, and that ought to be maybe take precedent over, you know, this number one, Ukraine, or number two, or these spending bills being put front and center, you know, that somehow that gets lost in the way here, the way things are set up.
Yeah, I think it does. And I get it. I think it's for many members. I mean, they like that leadership role. They like being on those cushy committees. They like to be able to fundraise. And so they won't push back in certain situations like this recent NDAA. I mean, that reauthorized FISA in an election year. So we actually had stripped out, you know, the abortion travel, all of this stuff, this transgender surgery in the military. We had stripped all of that out. This green deal stuff that they put in the policies. We stripped all that out, sent it to the Senate, and said, you're not going to fund this with the NDAA. And then they put it all back in. They didn't restrict it anymore. In addition to that, instead of attaching HR2, which was a good border bill, and put policies with actually metrics we could measure back in, they attached FISA. Our own Republican Party did that to allow the FBI to reauthorize Section 702 so then they could spy on U.S. citizens. And, oh, by the way, Donald Trump in a presidential election year. And so I couldn't imagine why we would vote for that as Republicans, but we had many of our people go along. Now, granted, it had more Democrat votes than it did Republicans. But we're the party of majority right now. We're letting the minority control the agenda. And that's, you know, to Mike Johnson's credit, I think he was on his heels. He went in as Speaker pretty quick. He didn't have his people around him. And so he's starting, we've been able to see him move and hold the line recently on this crazy runaway Ukraine spending bill that Schumer and McConnell tried to force down his throat a few weeks ago. So I think we're starting to see Mike get his win, if he will. And look, House Freedom Caucus guys, we're pulling for Mike Johnson to succeed because he is a conservative, but right now he's in a tough spot. And we, as Republicans, if we would stand with him instead of going along with the Democrats, we could actually hold the line, I believe.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this. Does it still continue to be, when you're out there campaigning, all about border security? I mean, you and I and Congressman Carl, when we get these conversations, we tend to focus on a lot of other things. But what I always hear, the dominant discussion kind of gets back to what's going on at the southern border.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. When I did 14 town halls in August of 21, the concern then was weaponization of the government against U.S. citizens. They saw what had happened to Donald Trump, and that still is a concern. That'll have to be number two on the list, I believe, now, because the border people are waking up in America. And listen, I spoke at a Rotary group in Dothan last week, or 2 weeks ago now, I think. And I had a Democrat come up to me, and he's a black man. He said, look, the party, Democratic Party, lied to us. They told us that voter IDs were racist, but I think they're going to replace us. And I think even the Democrats in communities in New York and Chicago are starting to realize that we were screaming, hey, this is going to be an issue. 3 years ago, we were going to the border when Biden did away with the Remain in Mexico and this asylum, broad brush asylum and parole. We said, hey, you're going to create a problem for America, and we have an invasion on the southern border. So that has to be priority. Everybody all in America recognizes that, even the Democrat people who sympathize with that party. They're starting to realize that that is the number one issue in America. And I've signed a pledge a few weeks ago, and I said, immigration accountability pledge. I said, I will not fund this government until we secure this border, and I'm willing to shut it down until they close the border. If we do not, we will lose this country in no time. We've already displaced double the Alabama's population, and the fentanyl deaths are 150 a day. We've got 350 people that we called on the terrorist watch list, and it's like Chad Wolf said. He was the director of Homeland Security under Trump. He said, and those are the dumb ones, Jeff Poore. The smart ones are here in this country. We don't know where they're at and what's going to happen in this country. We've got to catch them. We've got to send them back where they came from. We've got to secure the border. We've got to go back to Trump policies, or else this country is in big, big trouble.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Folks want to find out more about your campaign, how can they do so?
So they can follow Barrymore Republican for Congress on Facebook, on Twitter. We're out there. We're on Truth Social. Also, we have U.S. Rep. Barrymore. If you have needs with the agencies, you certainly can go there and get help. We win awards for our public service, 4,107 cases resolved for you, the American taxpayer, in the first 3 years in office. So please come see us if we can help you.
Congressman, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you, Jeff Poore. See you, buddy.
All right. All right. Well, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Unwind.